Hello there and welcome to the Spread, in essence, Football Picks Podcast. It's week 9 in the NFL, and I am back. Nesson.com's Mike Cole, joined as always by Ricky Doyle. Ricky, how are you?
Doing well. We're past Halloween now. We're on to the next holiday.
Stretch run to Thanksgiving is officially a go. And to celebrate that, we'll do what we do every Tuesday, which is make some against the spread picks for the NFL. We'll do the three best games of the week. We'll do locks, upsets. And then we might have a little extra sprinkle in this week as well.
Yeah, so. Sure. We're always looking for ways to, supplement our picks with some random entertainment value.
Yeah, right. I think that's, speaking frankly, losing the dearly departed Andre Cacciatore really kind of reduced some levity in our presentation and our operation.
Yeah, we don't have somebody to...
A lot of times for the better.
But we don't have somebody to stuff in a locker anymore.
Correct. So we will... We're working on some things.
So now we're going to have somebody stuff us in a locker.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later. But before we get into week 9 in the NFL, week 8 was... It was actually a pretty good week of football. The games are better, at least relatively speaking, compared to week 7. But that did not help me in my quest to have another strong week of prognosticating and picking football games. I went 5-10. That's a long way of saying I was terrible last week. You went, what did I just tell you? 8-7? 7-8,
I believe. Which is like where I've just been kind of sitting.
I did the math. I think you are one game under 500 for the year. And I am 3 games over 500 or 2 games over 500.
Makes sense.
So we're just flipping coins here.
Yep, that's what it comes down to.
That all could be a ruse, though, because we pick every week, every game, every week. Again, this is talking about Andre and missing him. He was our tally guy, our fact checker.
Yep.
That responsibility has been bestowed upon me. And I'm on about like a 3-week streak of completely screwing that up. So...
And it's all. I'll tell you what. It's always a little difficult to mention it to you too, because I don't want to.
I don't want to come off like a dink. Too,
you know what I
know,
mean? Like, because at the end of the day, it is. It's whatever. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. There's nothing at stake here.
And there are times too where I can kind of like I can tell like you, it was probably that game.
Yeah.
Or like I know you went off the path.
Yeah,
bit.
And there's nothing that makes me feel dumber, because I mean, not to get too inside baseball, but like. There's a process in which we have to go through to get some of the graphics for our written story on Nesson.com, where I have to deal with one of our UX guy, Andy, and he does the things for us. And so I have to send him the records every week, and then he sends me the graphic, and you always catch my errors after he has sent me the graphic. So I have to turn around and go back to Andy.
I was going to say.
Hey, Andy, I made another mistake. And so when you do it once, it's whatever. When you do it 3 weeks in a row, you look like a goddamn idiot. And that's kind of where I am right now with Andy. Luckily, we're working on me getting editorial control of that. So if I screw up, I can change it myself.
Yeah, because I was actually wondering that too, if Andy's just over there shaking his head.
He has to.
On a weekly basis.
Like, it's just,
we give him plenty of reason to shake his head to begin with, but if you want to add that on top of it.
It is simple just adding.
Yeah.
Counting and adding. Yeah. And it's the most basic arithmetic that you could have. And I continue to fail miserably at it. I think I got it this week. I have a new system, so... We're turning over new
systems league. In place.
Yeah. Speaking of my system, like I said, did not work very well. So I'm looking to get back at it this week. So let's get into week 9, the 3 games that we've picked this week. And you know what? You are dressed for the part when it comes
to that first game.
That really comes across well on a podcast medium. But you're wearing a purple shirt with black pants. Perfect.
It's very purple too. So it's
This
isn't like one where you question what the shade of purple. This is just straight up purple.
You may be telegraphing your first pick. Who knows? We've got the Vikings coming off of their Sunday night loss to a shorthanded Cowboys team. Just a bad loss for Minnesota. They head to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. The Ravens, if I'm not mistaken, are coming off a bye.
They are.
Yes.
After getting dump trucked by Cincinnati last week.
That is true. Yes. They've had a lot of time to stew over that. The Ravens, as it stands right now, are 5.5-point favorites. This is a Sunday afternoon game. Total set at 50. Right now, it looks like about 60% of the bets, two-thirds of the money, are on the Ravens. So this number could get to 6 by Sunday, maybe even a little bit more. Who do you like here with the Ravens laying 5.5 at home against Minnesota?
Yeah, that bye that you just mentioned, I think that came at a pretty good time for them to sort of to regroup after that showing against Cincinnati, where I guess it was kind of close in the beginning, and then the Bengals just pulled away a pick that we loved and still love it to this day. And you mentioned the Vikings playing on Sunday night. So I do think that the rest advantage will play into this a little bit. My thing with Minnesota, and I guess you could say this about both teams, is that we're still trying to figure out how good they actually are. But man, Minnesota's offense is just way too conservative for a team that has the skill players that they have. It feels like they don't really trust Kirk Cousins, which, you know, you've seen them put up some good offensive performances in the past. So you just wonder why they don't take some more shots down the field against Dallas. Cousins averaged 4.3 yards average depth per target. Only 22% of his passes going past the first down marker. So they're just kind of dinking and dunking, which, you know, for a Baltimore team that allows more yards after the catch than anybody, maybe that is sort of the way to go about it. But I look at Baltimore, and their issues are in the secondary and just not having those splash plays. So I'd like to see Minnesota take some shots, try to keep up with them in this, but I'm just not sure it happens. I think this, to me, just feels like one of those games where Baltimore comes out and gets right after the bye. So I'm going to lay the points. Like you said, it's probably going to get up a little bit. So if you like Baltimore, I'd get on them now. I think at 5.5 is a pretty good landing spot.
Are they able to go downfield?
Minnesota? Yeah. Or?
It feels like it's a constant knock on Cousins. It's like, well, maybe he just doesn't have that.
I feel like we've seen it in the past. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Like, because I don't know if it's the way he throws the ball or if it's just his general disposition. Just does not feel like the kind of quarterback who is going to sit there in the pocket and chuck it downfield.
It almost feels to me like Minnesota for so long has been sort of that defensive oriented team that like that's kind of been their identity, and that like there's just a hesitance to sort of to just, you know, swing in the other direction a little bit. That's just me throwing crap at the wall, but like that's what it feels like. I don't know.
They're a tough nut to crack because it's interesting. Like, you look at, I'm not gonna sit here and say I've watched every Vikings game, so I have to rely on the stats, especially as we get into the middle of the season, and like they rank third in explosive run rate, but it doesn't feel like they're doing much at all on the ground. I mean, really, they're 28th in DVOA on the ground. 10th in explosive pass rate, but to your point, like if they're not throwing beyond the sticks, how is that happening? Is that just a lot of yak, maybe? In which case, maybe it sets up well here. Baltimore, when it comes to stopping the explosive plays, 31st versus the run, 27th versus the pass. But I look at the other side, too, is, you know, Baltimore also has an explosive offense. So I think maybe the over, sitting the total at 50, might be a play here. For me, I'm going to take the Ravens as well. You took the Ravens, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I think I
ripped off the purple shirt mid-pick.
To reveal another purple shirt.
Well, I do have my Baltimore Ravens mystery tee that I got.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So this is a week where it really comes in handy.
They're coming off the bye. They have explosive play potential. And it feels like Minnesota is teetering, and this could be where it just all ends for the Vikings. Mm. You have multiple outlets calling for the Vikings to fire Mike Zimmer. I mean, they're 4-7 in their last 11 games dating back to last year. Remember, too, if you go back a few years on the spread, even, I'm sure we talked about it, or in our picks columns, they've been a really good bet, really profitable bet. Those things seem to even out over time, and it's happening here. They're 3-11 against the spread in their last 14 games as well. You've got Kirk Cousins questioning the coaching staff about the time management, which was a complete train wreck at the end of that Cowboys game. That's the other thing, too. This feels like a major coaching mismatch. If that's going to be the Mike Zimmer that you're going to get going up against John Harbaugh, who for his relative flaws is really good when it comes to that sort of stuff, in-game, playing the percentages, being aggressive when he needs to be aggressive. I don't feel the same way about Zimmer at all. Like, if he gets in a similar spot, he's not going to be able to make that sort of decision. Baltimore, first in special teams DVOA again. I mean, this is, you know what you're going to get from them. The Vikings, 30th in league special teams DVOA. So, I don't know. There's no real reason I like this, 5.5 feels like a lot. If it was 6, maybe it's a different story. Because, again, there's a possibility with the issues that Baltimore's had defensively, maybe the back door gets left open. I don't know. The more I think about this game, though, it just feels like 31-14. I think they a relative blowout for the Ravens.
I mean, the Vikings, they have, you know, they lead the NFL in games and losses decided by one possession this season.
I don't know how it happens then.
It's
because you watch them and it's every game feels like that, you know, that 14-7 slog that they played. And the same thing Sunday night against Dallas.
Yeah, and I think you hit on a good point, too, with the it just feels like things are unraveling a little bit. Like, I look at even the comments that Xavier Woods had saying that they prepared for Dak Prescott, not Cooper Rush, which, like, okay, I get it. But, like, you would think you might want to give that a little bit of thought.
Yeah, no kidding.
Over the course of the week, the way things were trending.
I mean, like, not to sit here and say that the sports betting world is the, you know, knows everything, but like that line shifted as the week went on. Like became, somebody knew that it was unlikely for Dak Prescott to play. For the team that was going up against him to not know it or not prepare for it, that's alarming.
It's very alarming.
There's a story in like it might have been the Star Tribune just talking about like football nepotism with Zimmer and how it's just like they've built a terrible coaching staff. It feels like they're teetering, and maybe that's a bounce back effort waiting to happen. But I feel like it's more likely they just get stomped out, and this thing kind of fizzles out.
That's the thing. The least likely scenario here is Minnesota winning convincingly. Like, but I could see Baltimore totally with a huge convincing win. Like, I could see this being a blowout.
Yeah. This game, this next game, was probably a lot more interesting when they put together the schedule. Actually, this is the byproduct of the 17-game schedule. So we saw earlier in the year, we had that Cowboys-Patriots game that got added. And this is another one which the NFL must love, regardless of the records, but still a pretty good game. We got the Packers coming off of their Thursday night win, very shorthanded, giving the Cardinals their first loss of the season. They go to Kansas City. They go back to Arrowhead, take on the Chiefs. The Chiefs are coming off of a win, technically, yes. Not a very convincing one on Monday night against the Giants. That was a complete misread by me, I think, by you.
Yeah, myself as
well. Sam and I had them in the Super Contest as well. Chiefs are in a... This just doesn't... I was talking to my wife about this, actually, of all people, as Monday night, and I'm like, it feels like we've continued to watch Patrick Mahomes and that offense look like they did in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And it's not even like they're going up against Tampa here. It's, you know, the Giants defense, I guess, is okay. But like, it felt like every drop back, at least for what I saw, was, you know, Mahomes rushed into a pass that is just off the mark. And it's just, they don't look right. And it's just, I don't know.
Like, we've sat there multiple weeks and talked about the turnover situation and whether that's going to improve as the season goes on and that this is an opportunity to sort of buy low on the Chiefs and that they're going to find their stride. But like, the more you watch them, the more like I'm starting to wonder if they were like their turnover luck was just exceptional the past couple of seasons. And now that this is more the reality.
They have been unlucky though. At times.
I mean, there was, there was that one interception last night Monday night that,
I think they've lost definitely a pretty unlucky high bounce. Percentage of their fumbles, too, which tends to even out over time.
Yeah. Maybe the bigger thing is that they just can't flip the switch like they used to. Like, it's like the rest of the league is caught up to them to an extent. And then you have, I mean, now you're talking about issues on both sides of the ball. Like, that was another thing, is that, like, for so long that the offense, when you're able to score points anytime you're not coughing up the ball, like, you can sort of live that way, but now it's compounded by how much the defense has regressed, and it's really just a perfect storm of failing to meet expectations now.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess. So this line,
the penalties, like, just uncharacteristic.
Yeah. The line's all over the place. So the Chiefs opened as 2.5-point favorites. We use DraftKings Sportsbook for our lines. DraftKings has the Chiefs as 1.5-point favorites right now. It's a pick just about everywhere else. I saw at one point this morning, it's Tuesday, I saw the Packers as a favorite. That's moved now to, like I said, the Chiefs minus 1.5 at DraftKings. So let's go off of that. The Chiefs lay in 1.5. Who knows what this line looks like at the end of the week. Right now, 84% of the bets, 91% of the money is on the Packers. That line's going to move unless respective money comes in. A lot has to be settled here. So let's just try our best to handicap what we have here.
Yeah, and I'm going to take the Packers because it is just for all the reasons we mentioned, it's tough to have a lot of faith in Kansas City right now. And meanwhile, I mean, I think Green Bay is trending in the other direction. The defense seems to be getting stronger each week. Once they get past the COVID situation, like they feel like they're getting healthier. So it just seems to me like they're sort of finding their stride, whereas Kansas City is just treading water. Like Kansas City had come out on Monday night against the Giants and performed like we expected them to, then maybe I'd feel a little bit differently about this because for so long I've been so just wired to take the Chiefs with a short line at home nonetheless. But I just think the Packers always are a live underdog. Anytime I can catch a couple points when you got number 12 back there. So I'm going to take who I believe right now is just the better team of the two. Seem to be. You look like you're shocked and shock and awe.
Yeah, I am. So these teams, I was thinking of like weaknesses that the Packers have right now, and the red zone, both offensively and defensively, is an issue. Packers red zone offense, which was the best in the league last year, is only scoring touchdowns 58% of the time. That's tied for 19th in the league with Buffalo and Kansas City. So they're The Kansas City red zone defense, by the way, ranked 27th. Green Bay's is 30th. So the Packers' biggest weakness coming into this game, or one of them at least, feels kind of like a wash. Like it doesn't, there's not a decided advantage there for Kansas City. I also am going to take the Packers. I don't love it. I don't feel comfortable with it. This one's going to be all over the place when it's all said and done. It feels square almost, which is wild when you're picking against the Chiefs after what we've seen for the last 2 years. But the Chiefs defense, 29th in pass DVOA, 30th in run DVOA, 29th in EPA pass defense, 29th in EPA run defense. Like they are bad on both sides of the ball or both sides of the defense. Like they don't do anything well defensively. And the Packers, to your point, as you mentioned, should be getting healthy. The Packers scored, I think, 24 points last week on a short week on the road without their three best receivers, and they left 7 points on the field by not scoring on the goal line late in that game. Like, Lazard, I think, has already been activated. I would imagine Davante Adams will. Marquez Valdez-Scantling could be back this week. I would even imagine maybe Bakhtiari's back.
Yep.
Like, it's all pointing towards the Packers here.
And you're getting, I mean, you can't have a bigger rest disadvantage if you're Kansas City.
Right.
I mean, you got Green Bay coming off the Thursday night game against Arizona, and the Chiefs are on a short week, so.
Packers, all of a sudden, too, it feels like they haven't turned the ball over much at all recently, and that kind of bears it out. They're right up there now after that early start to the season was horrible. They're now second in turnover differential. KC's tied for the worst, I think, with like Jacksonville or Houston, I forget which one. In turnover differential, minus 11. Like, they're not only are they turning it over, they don't take it away much. It's just I thought this was interesting. They've never been a home underdog with Patrick Mahomes. They've been a home underdog 3 times since 2014, and it was when Mahomes was either hurt, when he had like the ankle thing, one time against Green Bay, actually, and they almost beat him with Matt Moore. And then they rested him late in the season last year, and they got smoked by the Chargers. So, I don't know. I don't like how confident I am with this, but again, if this is one where they come out and just roll them, it's like, oh, I guess the Chiefs just aren't good.
My thing is, I'm interested to see it. Like, at what point, like, when do we get to the point where they start like baking in the expected money you're going to get on the Chiefs? Like, I think that the handle is still pretty large on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So, like, but like, we're going to reach a point where everybody's going to be staying away.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they,
I don't know if we're there yet, but
the Packers win by 20, then what happens?
Then maybe
that's not sort of a swing. I don't know. They start catching points at home. People are going to be like, well, what if it's this week?
Yeah.
And it's still, oh, by the way, the one thing, the Chiefs run game's actually been pretty good this year, sneaky good. That's now, like, we're in a weird alternate reality, too, where it's like maybe if Kansas City could slow things down and,
it's kind of the Patriots progression a little bit. They're starting to ugly. They were the heavy favorites with the airing it out, and now they transition to this team
that is
a lead on the ground.
Talking about the red zone and the run defense is another one of the issues for the Packers. So maybe that's a way that Kansas City stay. I don't know. It's just if both teams. What is like? Do we have to readjust the Chiefs' ceiling too? Like, I don't even know. I was gonna say if both teams play their potential, like the Packers should run away with it, but. But I don't really know what the Chiefs' potential is.
The Chiefs might just be the amongst the rest of that cluster in the AFC, which really that's what the AFC is. Just a cluster of teams that might be good, but might also really stink.
True. That is. Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, it's just moving teams every week, just kind of rearranging all
of
them.
Was it you that tweeted recently? Like, there was somebody that tried to make the argument. It wasn't
your
argument.
Bill Simmons argued this. That the AFC overall was better than the NFC. And it's like, his point, I think, was teams like 8 through 16, by and large, are make up for the top heaviness of the NFC, which I would argue is a joke, too, because like if you want to go all the way down the division, like how good is Pittsburgh, really?
Right.
How good is Vegas? I don't know. Like, or if you want to go to the bottom, Jacksonville and Houston, like there's not, you know, it's just.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to quantify.
I didn't think that was a very good take. Well, especially when you have, what is it, Packers, Rams, Bucks, missing one, Cardinals, yep. I guess, at the top
you
of that. Could,
yeah,
conference.
You got your four top Super Bowl contenders, and then Buffalo on the other side.
Yep. Yeah. One team that was at the top of the list or was making its way up the list was the Tennessee Titans. They've fallen on hard times, or at least had a real tough break this week with the loss of Derrick Henry. And all they have to do to start their life without Derrick Henry is head out to Los Angeles, take on the Rams on Sunday Night Football. The Rams, is Von Miller going to play? I would imagine he'll suit up.
He's hoping to, I guess, but
don't know how much they're going to get from him. But you know, they got a head start on the trade deadline, acquiring Von Miller on Monday. Rams feeling really good about themselves. They are 7.5 point favorites at home against Tennessee. The total set at 54. On the look ahead line a week ago, not even, this was a 4.5 point spread. So between Henry and I guess a little bit of Miller as well, the line has jumped 3. Everybody just hammering the Rams. Public's all over the Rams right now. Total 54. Who do you like here?
Yeah, so it feels a little square in that regard. But I need to see what Tennessee's offense looks like without Derrick Henry. What he does. We've talked a few times about Carolina's offense when they lost Christian McCaffrey. Like that's a different type of running back that you're losing. Like a lot of teams, you can just sort of plug and play your next man up and don't really skip a beat. But I just feel like his skill set is so unique. You know, just the ability to just wear down defenses and then open up that play action that I'm just not sure they're going to be able to replicate that. And if it turns into just, you know, if they almost have to rebrand themselves offensively and just become like the Ryan Tannehill show, I don't think this is a very good matchup for that.
There's probably a reason the Ryan Tannehill show didn't work until he got to Tennessee.
Right. Yeah.
Might have been the play calling, but.
And this is just, it doesn't feel like a good week to sort of be working through that. Like this is a tough spot in the schedule for him. I mean, AJ Brown just went off, but I mean, if you have Jalen Ramsey to take him away, that Tennessee offensive line has been kind of bad. And now you're welcoming in, you know, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd
Leonard
just
Floyd's
had a big game. It's been awesome. And that pass rush is there. Like you said, Von Miller, I don't know how much he's going to play, but that's another element that maybe you get him into a few pass rushing situations. Yeah. So to me, it just feels like a tough spot for Tennessee to be going through what's going to be obviously a big transition offensively. So I'll take the Rams. It is a big number, clearly, but I guess my only concern is that, like, you look at the level of competition that the Rams have faced lately since losing to the Cardinals in week 4, Seahawks with Geno Smith at the end of that game, Giants, Lions, Texans. You know, despite losing Derrick Henry, I think it's safe to say that the Titans are a step up in competition. So maybe they start slow and it makes it difficult to cover that number. But yeah, from a personnel standpoint, I'm just finding it hard to back Tennessee in the spot.
Yeah, I think we're lockstep across the board.
This is rare. I mean, I feel like we've been clashing a lot this
season.
And
it is square as hell too. So
yeah, I know.
That doesn't make me feel good either. but yeah, there's not a whole lot to add to what you said there. I guess in a relative long-term sense, I'm still a buy on Tennessee, or I've become a buy on Tennessee. I don't love that division. We just talked about the AFC and how it is, but it's going to take them some time to kind of figure it out. We talked about this last week when we were breaking down the Colts-Titans game, is the Titans had really started to get back to what had made them so effective under Arthur Smith last year, which was the play action game. And like, I don't know, are you paying attention to the play action game at all this week? If you're the Rams, like, shouldn't your just, you know, your entire scheme and game plan be built around the fact that, you know, we're just not going to bite for that. And if they want to hand it off to Adrian Peterson or whoever their backup,
Jeremy McNichols.
Right. Yeah.
And then we who's maybe is good, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They have an injury on the offensive line as well. And that was in addition to the fact that they haven't been overly effective in terms of, and that's the other thing too, when you take away the play action, like, that changes the way offensive lines, you know, block and how they attack. And
Titans them. Offensive line, 29th in adjusted sack rate. So like, that in and of itself, and going up against
those, all have to be on just straight dropbacks.
Oh yeah. Right? I would think so. Yeah. So, I mean, you just, that in and of itself before, like, even with Derrick Henry, like, it just seems like it's a tough matchup.
So the other thing too is the back-to-back road games. They went into overtime last week against a divisional opponent. I think the Rams might be, do they have the Thursday game next week? So they're kind of in a weird look ahead spot too. But when you talk about the schedule, I think it favors the Rams as well. Cause like I said, back-to-back road games coming off of overtime, divisional opponent, and it's a tough spot. And the fact too that they should have, I mean, they probably should have lost last week. Carson, it's... like, I don't think, I mean, Matt Stafford can do some goofy stuff, but I don't think he's going to give them throw a 1 yard interception return touchdown pass where he just tosses it into the air. Like,
they were going to get run out of the building in the first, you know, the first quarter or so.
Yeah, I just think that Rams coaching staff is good. They're going to be licking their chops in terms of trying to find the holes to exploit here. So I just, 7.5 is a lot, especially with what Tennessee can do offensively. Again, that's, it maybe opens up the back door, but this again kind of feels like a runaway, at least late.
Tennessee 18-3 straight up since 2019 when Derrick Henry rushes for 100 or more yards. 8-10 straight up when he doesn't.
Another one. If he only counted yards after contact, Derrick Henry would lead the league in rushing.
It's wild.
He also accounts for 36% of their offensive production so far. It's nuts. Did we talk about this last week? The workload?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, and it's just, I mean, we were
so
right.
I feel like we've kind of manifested this injury.
Yeah, this is hard.
Because,
is
like, yeah, it is. It's just, there's certain skill players that are indispensable, and he is one of them.
I got to imagine that might take some time to get used to.
Exactly, yeah. It's just, it's going to be a new look.
All right, let's go through locks and upsets real quick. Who you got as your lock?
Lock, I'm going to take the Chargers. 1.5-point favorites over the Eagles. Eagles coming off a performance against my Lions. I was predicting the outright upset last week. Take did not age well.
No. I'm so out on the Eagles. Like, just,
I know, and that's
like,
my thing.
I never can get them right.
Like, I, yeah, so you were pretty high at the beginning.
I finally jumped off last week, and then you go out and win by 50.
I think that this pick is more geared towards, I still think the Chargers are good. Like, we've had the, you know, back-to-back losses, one at home versus New England a couple of weeks ago, getting blown out in Baltimore. But I think this is, you know, that just presents value here with such a short number against a team that they're significantly better than. I'll lay the 0.5.
I'll take the Steelers on Monday night, 6.5-point favorites against Chicago. Bears tied for the worst yard play differential in the entire league, in large part because they're averaging just NFL worst 4.4 yards per play. Pittsburgh defense probably isn't as good as it has been in years past. Still pretty good, though. Middle of the pack, playing at home's a tough spot for a rookie quarterback to go into. You know, to get Matt Nagy back, is that a downgrade for the Bears?
No.
That offense looked okay. It certainly looked better early in that game, but as they got off script, it became an issue again. You know, I don't. They still lost that game. I don't see that it gets better on the road in Pittsburgh against a team like the Steelers. Steelers maybe sensed a little bit of momentum here, coming off of the win in Cleveland last week. Going home now, the Browns sound like a complete mess at the moment. And you've got the Steelers who've turned the ball over just twice in the last three games. They've gone 3-0 in that stretch. Bears don't really do much in terms of forcing turnovers. Total's like at 40 at this one. It's going to be a low scoring game, but I think it's like a 20-10 Steelers win.
They're finding a way. And that was kind of when we did our season preview episode, when you were like, they don't really bottom out.
Yeah.
And it looked like for a minute that they were trending that way, and they pulled it together.
Yeah, credit to them. That's I guess begrudgingly give credit to Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger, which is not something I like to do. Who's your upset?
I'm gonna get weird. I'm gonna go Panthers over the Patriots. Right now they're 3.5 point underdogs, +155 on the money line. I'm making this pick hoping that Christian McCaffrey is back this week, because that offense just looks entirely different when he is sidelined. But also, I just think Carolina's defense, it's been sneaky good this year. A lot of it stems from their, how hot they were to start the season. But still third in EPA per play, second in success rate behind Buffalo, whose defense has obviously been tremendous. The Sam Darnold thing, obviously his status is up in the air, so we'll see how that goes.
He's been really good against the Patriots in his
career. And I just think that we might be getting we might just be getting a little too high on the Patriots. I feel like they got to come down to earth a little bit.
Buy into that.
I'm still not sure how good they are, and I think that defense is going to pose problems for Mac Jones this week.
Been doing a weekly column, or not column, but just a story, start of the week, like three bets to make right away when the Lions come out.
Yeah.
I had the under in this one. It was at 43.5. Like the under a lot. It's down to 41.
I was
going to
say, it's dropping down. The over-unders for Patriots games this year this is going to be fascinating to look back on.
A lot of unders, yeah. Because that's the thing. They scored one offensive touchdown last week. To your point. For my upset, I'll take San Francisco, 2.5 point underdogs at home against Arizona. These two teams played earlier in the year. Arizona won that game 17-10. That's their lowest offensive output of the season. San Francisco running game is coming alive. It started in that game in which they ran for 152 yards. They're averaging 138 on the ground over the last four games. We saw Thursday night, the Packers got what they wanted. I think it was like 151 yards rushing as well. I think there's a chance here for San Francisco to kind of just control this game and steal it late. So Arizona, this is like the first time I've watched a full Cardinals game. When everything's going well, it's impressive. When things start to break down a little bit, the play calling isn't great, and Kyler Murray is not the most accurate passer.
It wasn't that the case last year when they started so strong and then faded towards the end?
Fair,
And so, like, I think they've gotten better. Like, I think that defense is much better than it was last year, but it's still sort of the same story.
Yep.
It's you're just kind of waiting for that, waiting for them to show some cracks, which I think you saw this past.
Be interesting, too, without J.J. Watt now. I know he isn't the same player he used to be, but Troy Aikman said.
I feel like they fed off him a little bit,
And like maybe if he takes away one or two blocks, it opens things up for Chandler Jones or whoever else. So I'm not going to pretend I'm smart enough to know that. Speaking of being smart and not being smart.
That's a segue if I've ever heard one.
We're welcoming in Nesson.com editor extraordinaire.
I always like when we welcome in guests and we do it on the fly.
Ben Watanabe.
We start moving chairs. We start rearranging furniture.
Rearranging.
Yelling at each other.
deck chairs on the Titanic.
Well, we're big on visuals around here. We already talked about my shirt for a couple minutes. Clearly, people can't see, but maybe we'll post a picture of it. The feature and image.
So Ben Watanabe is here. Ben, what the hell are we doing?
So this is all new feature we're going to do. It's called YouTube NFL highlight commenting and what game is it from. Really rolls off the tongue.
Streamlined.
So this is the stepchild maybe of show and tell for people who are in the Wayback Machine. What we're gonna do is I was perusing the NFL YouTube page on Sunday night, looking at some highlights, and I was realizing the commenters there. This might shock you guys, but YouTube commenters who watch NFL highlights are not the sharpest.
They seem pretty reasonable.
So I'm going to run through a few comments here. These are from NFL game highlights on the official NFL YouTube page, and I want you guys to guess which game these comments are from. I will say these are all actual comments from YouTube videos. I did try to get a little sneaky though. So
these are from this past week. Week 8.
Pull up the slate.
Yeah, pull up the slate.
Yeah, all right, I'm good to go.
All right, so first up, I have this up on the big screen. The best part of this game is that the Jets won over the Bengals. 2 exclamation points. Which game is this from?
I'm going to say...
It might be a trick.
Oh, it's got to be.
It's got to be. No, I'm going to say... I might be overthinking it. I'm going to say Steelers-Browns.
I'm going to say...
They did play last.
Dolphins-Bills.
Mike is correct. Hell yeah. Steelers-Browns.
It would have been great if you just... That was actually a Jets-Bengals comment just to throw me off the scent.
Yeah, well, if you set the tone with that, it was just Jets-Bengals. I wouldn't know what to expect with the rest of this segment. All right,
moving along. Next up.
Oh, my God.
This is a long one.
Here we go. They've been expanding the playbook for the young blood, and I like it. He looked a little off today, though. I said this game has sneaky upset written all over it, and I got tore up for it. Also said Saints-Bucks was another one. Got tore up for that, too. Didn't expect the Jets to wake up, though.
Got tore up. Wow. I was leaning Bengals-Jets before I saw the end of it. So.
I'm going to say Patriots. Patriots-Chargers.
I'm going to
the young blood say... seems like a Mac Jones reference.
That's who I think of.
Yeah. That's an evolving nickname around these parts.
Saints box.
Okay. We're 1-1. This one was from Patriots Chargers.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Ding. Can we edit in some bell sounds?
They're expanding the playbook for the young blood. Okay.
All right. Number 3. Man, what a great game to watch. I was stressed out the whole time. Do feel bad for Carson Wentz, though. Is it a non-sequitur?
I don't know.
I'm going to say Eagles-Lions.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
I hope they weren't stressed out.
I think it's an Eagles fan. Yeah, I think it's... Yeah. Stressed out the whole time.
Maybe he was stressed out because... As a Carson Wentz supporter, he or she now is stressed by Jalen Hurts winning in such convincing fashion.
Is this actually the trick one now, or he's giving us Titans Colts, and this is a Titans fan? I'm just gonna say Eagles Lions.
Yeah, Eagles Lions.
You're both going Eagles Lions. Yeah. This one was Titans Colts.
Oh, God damn it!
Slipped it in there.
I want to know why would you feel bad for Carson Wentz though. His play doesn't really...
That's just a nice...
He gave that game away.
That's a nice
What's there to feel bad about?
Because he's a bonehead. That's what he feels bad about. Damn.
All right. Looks like we found a QB, at least for now. Great game and comeback. 2-5 is a hell of a lot better than 0-7. Something to build on.
Jets. Jets-Bengals.
Yeah, it's got to be.
This one is Jets-Bengals.
Hell yeah. I love that. It's... Mike, whatever is what is it? Right, it's probably not because I can't.
Mike White,
huh?
Mike White.
Mike White. Yeah, that's. I'm blaming Logan for that one. I love how they took Zach Wilson with like the 2 or 3 pick. And it's like nah, Mike White's our guy now.
We found our QB.
Wonder if they'll trade him for the deadline.
All right.
Holy emojis.
A ghost?
I just can't sometimes. All the time, sad face. Y'all lucky being fans of winning organizations. We just got to hope for a miracle year like 2017. Good night. Have a good rest of your Halloween. Ghost
Very
emoji.
Nice.
This has to be Eagles-Lions.
I just can't.
Oh, that's true. 2017 was the year the Eagles won. Or does this person have their years mixed up? Is it a year that their team actually did nothing of note?
Wait, I just can't. All the time, y'all like me. The y'all's throwing me off, too.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's the emojis. The ghost. Very ghoulish. Sticking his tongue out.
Wait, hold on. I just can't sometimes.
Oh, when was 2000? All the years blending it. I'm going to go Panthers, Falcons. Was 2017 the Falcons?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'll go with that too.
You seem to be pondering though, so it tells me that I have the wrong answer.
Panthers Fout.
It was a cat team, a cat expansion team, but this was actually Jaguars. Seahawks. I just really like this guy wishing everyone a good night in the rest
that
of the
That is very nice.
This is
yeah.
pleasant, if nothing else.
All right, this is the last one. What's better than 0-16 perfection? 0-17 perfection.
I mean, it's got to be Lions-Eagles, right? That feels too obvious, but I'm going to go Lions.
Yeah.
Because they went 0-16.
Lions are going to go. I gave you guys a layup for the last one.
I was dancing around in my head. I just thought we were getting tricked again. Last week, we got the treats. This week, we got the tricks.
I think it's telling that Jets fans are excited about Mike White. I couldn't remember his name, so I don't know who says says more about me or the Jets fans. But
I mean, have you guys brought up the fact that Mike White is the name of the guy who plays Ned Schneebly in School of Rock?
No.
He's the first face that comes up when you Google Mike White, so that probably says all you need to know about Michael White.
I'm going to holster anything else I have to say about Mike White because I don't want to get canceled.
You know, what if he is good? Maybe we're downplaying Mike White.
I saw some
is
better,
Mike White elite?
Somebody won like $100,000 betting on Mike White to be the leading passer in week 8. What a nice little, you know, bet that is like 100 to 125,000. So, that was fun. Great. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. You're welcome anytime. Ricky, do you
have anything
else?
I'm trying to think of the next spin we can put on that game for next week. We
got to put more on the line.
Yeah, that's true.
That is, yeah. We'll start adding that to our
you know that records. Now that you've done this, though, like now we're going to lean on you to search YouTube, research YouTube videos every Sunday night looking for comments. A couple weeks in, you're going to be like, God damn, why did I bring that game up?
I will say, when we were on YouTube back in the day, the commenters were kind to us. And it wasn't
for the most
quite
part.
As...
Not Eagles fans.
No, that's true.
Eagles fans were like,
that's why
the rival.
I can't pick Eagles games this year because they're like subliminally in my head. I just never been able to shake that. So, all right,
that was the miracle year.
That was wrong the whole year. So, for Ben and for Ricky, I'm Mike. This has been The Spread. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again next week. Later.
Yeah.